Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is 1-17-17.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was our first show of the year, I guess because I missed last week. Sorry about that. But it's our second show.
Okay.
Yeah, well, just a little clarification for me. But a lot of things been going on, very interesting conditions that it seems we're in this weird wait-and-see condition right now till after the inauguration. Markets have been in a bit of a consolidation. Have you noticed it's kind of like
sideways?
Yeah, it's a bit sideways.
Sideways.
And, you know, we saw the banks sold off today. Trump came out with, he's not a quiet fellow.
I'll tell you, this guy is going to be moving the market up and down in every which way.
It could be fun again. It could make volatility great again.
Yeah.
He was talking about how the dollar was too high. Dollar slammed lower, brought gold up. Moved down the
dollar's not too high.
Well, this is what he was saying. It's too high. You know, he's going to micromanage every little component, it looks like. But the dollar was brought down. The yields came down. That also hurt the banks. Actually, the banks had a pretty rough day. Earnings were out last week on a number of banks. We saw some today. A few banks, Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, down 3-4%. They had a big run, of course. But it looks like there's some consolidation. Looks like there's some concern over this whole border tax. You know, he's been pointing his finger and saying, you know, if you you manufacture products over there and then bring them over here for sale, he's going, oh, you're going to be facing a 35% penalty now. And I don't know where he came up with this, by the way, because there is no law for a 35% penalty or cross-border tax.
And no, that's more than just an edict.
Yeah, 35% to you, 35% to you, 35% to you. But no, that's not the case. So yeah, I think maybe everybody's getting the hint that it will take a little bit more than just him tweeting to enact a law. You know, it would be legislation by tweet. That seems to be what's going on here. But post-election, there was some really interesting things that happened. We saw that small business optimism just went vertical. Huh. It's highest level since 2004. And a lot of people look at the small business optimism.
I don't even know about this.
Well, it's kind of important because it looks at the...
Who does it?
The NFIB. Hmm. Hang on. I think my levels are a little loud here. Hang on. Okay. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Little adjustment there. I was kind of peeking. I think it's called
peeking. You're redlining.
I was just peeking, so it may be a little bit weird at the beginning of the show.
No, I don't think anyone cares.
They're not listening to me anyway, so what's the difference?
No, right? They listen, but they don't care. I've heard some shows recently that's abominable.
Really? The audio is just terrible, huh?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so the NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Businesses, they have this small business optimism index, and it was at the highest level since 2004 with a gigantic move, a 38-point jump in the number of owners who expect better business conditions ahead. And the index went up to 105.8.
They can't get much worse.
No.
I think the whole thing is centered on all the extra regulations that Obama's people put in place, the Democrats.
Yeah, that's I agree. That's definitely a problem.
And so once you get this guy who thinks the regulations, at least, I mean, I don't think the Republicans are going to go along with half of the stuff he wants to do because they're Republicans. But I know the one thing they all agree on is that the regulations have gone out of control with these extra governmental agencies that really aren't supposed to be making laws, but they make laws because they're given a certain kind of special permission. And they make laws. So they make whatever law they feel like making without the legislature having any involvement. They're just given a blank check.
And the laws they make are not just short and sweet and easy to deal with.
No, they're big, giant, horrible things. A lot of it, you know, when I analyze it like a cynic might, a lot of these laws are extremely complicated. They're books. They're like 1,000-page laws. And they're obviously designed for one purpose. The people who wrote the laws are the only ones who understand all the details and all the ramifications and all the fine print. And they go into the consulting business after they leave one of these agencies. And then they consult on these laws because they're the ones who know what the laws are all about.
So it's the ultimate process here is that they're going to create things that are so complex that only they can understand so that when they get out of office, they can make a bundle on it.
Yes.
Ah.
And this has been going on for years.
I don't doubt it. I mean, it's clearly, well, that's what the whole point was about making sure that maybe some people that are currently in office are no longer able to be lobbyists for a certain period of time after they leave office.
You don't have to be, this is not a lobbyist job. This is a consulting gig.
Oh, so we just changed it to, right. So what's the difference between, how do you define a difference between a lobbyist and a consultant?
Well, a lobbyist is in the lobby. I mean, they're named after guys who roam around the halls of Congress in the lobby, and they buttonhole various legislative types, and they tell them, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. It's going to be good for the country. And that's a lobbyist, technically.
They're like nudgers. You know, they get nudgers. They nudger people.
And yes, and they, right. And they are in there getting appointments and trying to push somebody's agenda, and they're hired usually by a consulting firm. Who they usually work for. So in other words, a consulting firm can have lobbyists and can have just straight up consultants that don't do any lobbying at all. All they do is help people get past the idiosyncrasies of these crazy laws. And the only people that can really afford this is the big giant corporations. This is all headed toward corporatism, part of the government. And that's why the small business guys, I think, in this thing that you're reciting are all jacked up because they see, well, maybe the table's turned. Maybe you don't have to be a huge multi-billion dollar company to get by.
Yeah. Clearly, if there's less regulations or if it's easier to deal with. I mean, there's two issues here. The first is regulations that prevent business from expanding or growing or initiating or any of that, right? That's the first thing, that you can't do this, you can't do that. The second thing is the overwhelming requirement of small businesses and the burden of hiring people to interpret and then to comply with whatever regulations there are. That's a big problem as well.
Yeah, it's huge.
So, I mean, look at my business. I mean, in the investment business, it's nuts.
Yeah, you have a lot of this that's going on with business itself. Yeah.
And a new law coming out, the DOL law for fiduciary responsibility, which is a good thought, which means that essentially those people who charge a commission in the investment business shouldn't be able to rake people over the coals and charge them excessive amounts, and also that they have to work. This is kind of a funny thing. There's a law that's being put into place. I guess it's required these days. There's a law being put into place essentially to mandate that your investment advisor is working on your behalf versus their own. Kind of a sad statement.
You mean like when Goldman Sachs was telling people to go long while they were selling short?
It could be that, or it could be that they're selling a product that is very high in commission that may not be the best fit for the client, but because it's a high commission and because they got their money and they can convince them to buy it, then it's a good, you know, it's good for them. So it changes the...
Is that going to go down all the way down to the guys who sell stereos?
No.
And one company is providing the sales guy, the floor guy, with spiffs to push his speakers or whatever they're selling? Is that going to be affected by this law? That seems pretty corrupt.
No, it's actually, unless they're also selling a mutual fund with the stereo, no. It's only the investment business. Not everybody has to be a fiduciary. If you did, you'd have no car dealers left. I mean, they take that industry out.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so all things equal, it was a big move, and expectations for better business conditions were what was the main thing cited here, which was good. And that's why we saw many of the small cap stocks in the United States move up so dramatically because, like you said, between tax issues, between a relaxed regulatory environment, all good stuff. So we put up a chart here so you can take a look over on dhunplugged.com. where all the show notes on this show and the other shows are available. And just click on the NFIB confidence chart in the show notes from this particular episode. In China, it was interesting. Last week, we saw, actually, it was the beginning of this week, There was some news that exports slumped more than expected in December as global trade remained sluggish. So what's happening is we have all this optimism around the world now for whatever reason. There was somebody sprinkled some fairy dust around after the Trump election and said, oh, you will, you know, it's like, what was that movie? It was when Dorothy was going through the poppy fields. Remember that? That's kind of how we are. We're all wandering through the poppy fields.
Ah, oh, sweet.
Yeah. And everything is so good and looks so nice and tastes so wonderful. And what's happening is that a little bit of a dose of reality is setting in where we see earnings are not as great as they should be, which nobody that was thinking clearly thought that earnings would pick up so quickly right after all this optimism, because none of the initiatives.
It takes years.
Fully. We got tax reform. We got regulatory reform. We have the potential for repatriation of assets. We have trade deals being renegotiated. We have employment supposedly it's going to come back. All these things that are, you know, out there. But and not to mention an infrastructure spend of $750 billion or so. That doesn't happen overnight. I think somehow people, oh, look, he says all these things and it's going to happen overnight. Even if it's implemented the day that he gets into office, it's probably going to take, as you said, a year or so to trickle down to the right places. And already there's some infighting with the various Republicans, and you know he's not now in favor of this. There was a border tax issue already today. That the plan that's being presented is not exactly what was desired. But anyway, there was this. We saw that exports decreased 6.1%, which would make sense to some degree. Even though the dollar was a lot higher, exports still decreased. But imports increased a bit, which was kind of interesting. And then the trade balance was about a little bit under on there. So we're seeing that China's kind of slowing down a little bit. Now we're starting to hear that they're going to support their markets. They're going to do some open market operations of some sort to predict, you know, to, because their markets are down maybe 1 or 2% recently. So they're all, you know, all upset. Oh, well, anyway,
they can support their markets. They're supposed to, you know, I don't know.
They're correct.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. The whole Chinese market thing is really kind of fascinating in that they're so overtly involved in their markets, you know, daily and weekly and monthly doings. The same thing with their currency. They're just constantly, you know, manipulating and moving and changing and trying to, they just don't let it alone, which is why it's very difficult to invest there. It's a great opportunity in some regards. On the other hand, you know, today I think there was a discussion about how their property prices are some of the most outrageously and unaffordable properties in the whole world right now.
Yes. Well, that's all. It's like when, yeah. And it can happen. The Chinese really get into this. I mean, Hong Kong, and I think they still maintain this, outrageous property prices for apartments.
And what about retail space?
Ah, can't imagine.
Retail space is crazy. Just absolutely crazy. Now, interesting what happened overnight or the last couple of days, this whole Brexit thing is coming to a head again. Theresa May, who is the prime minister of the UK at this point, now has, she talked about initially this kind of a quick opening about a clean break from the EU single market is something that she wants to, you know, happen, which infers that this is going to happen quickly. It's going to be a hard Brexit versus this, you know, very slow, easy detachment from the rest of the Eurozone. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be like this day, it's it and it's done. British pound dropped to $1.20, just sank, boom, straight down. And people weren't so happy because there was the whole idea, as you had discussed many times, that it may not even happen.
I'm still convinced of that.
Well, you should be, because in her follow-up speech, which was, by the way, selectively leaked to the media, to certain media outlets. And then she spoke after this and she said, you know what? Just to let you know, we want to have a clean break, but we're going to put it up to a parliamentary vote. You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
That means that the referendum that was voted on by the people to do this deal now somehow has to go to Parliament for a vote of whether this can happen or not.
Well, one of the courts made that challenge right off the bat, and everyone went along with it quickly. They call her Theresa Maybe.
that's probably a good. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. That's exactly what she did. She kind of went one way and then kind of followed up with this other thing. Now, on the news that Parliament will have to vote on this, The pound rallied the most since the, I think, since like 2008.
Yeah, it's way, it was shot way up.
Yeah, we have a little chart there on this.
Still not where it's supposed to be, but it's still shot up.
Where is it supposed to be?
$1.45, $1.55.
Back up to where, yeah. I mean, the idea that the pound is being just obliterated with the fact that they'll be out of this. I mean, I can understand why people would want to sell the pound if it's not as easily, you know, if they're out of the Eurozone or the Euro single market, because obviously there'll be a lot of problems, a lot more difficulty working with them. It'll be all sorts of deals will have to be unraveled. They're better off being in it from a currency standpoint because a lot more trading can happen. But nobody seems to really care too much, it seems. It's kind of like, well, if the pound drops, that's good for our markets because our goods are much cheaper and we can do a lot better from a gross domestic product standpoint. And
yes, you know,
but on the other hand, if the pound goes up because they're going to, if they did stay with it, well, that's good too, because you know what? We'll have all these opportunities within the single market concept of the Eurozone. So it's good no matter what. Everything's good no matter what these days. It's good.
Well,
you know, it used to be the dollar moving up is very problematic, but then you hear, oh, well, a strong dollar is good for, you know, the United States. And then on the other hand, you know, a weak dollar, well, that's not so good. But on the other hand, it's really good because it helps out our economy. Everything's good.
You can always find an excuse that everything is good.
Yeah. They can probably find an excuse that everything's bad too. There's those out there.
Yeah, and they do that too.
Yeah. Now there's this new trend. I don't know, you've been reading about this. You've been seeing this. It's been on the bullying of companies by President-elect Trump. Can't wait to stop saying the elect word. Just get done with it and say President Trump. Oh, by the way, did you see that moth that was named for him today? I should have put this in here.
I missed it.
There was a new species of moth that was recently discovered. And this particular moth has this... it looks like, how do I describe it? It looks like a head of like little pieces of white all over its head and kind of yellowish. Like it's like a mound of, looks like a mound of hair. So they named it something like Motha Trumpadilia or something like that. They named it for Trump because it reminded him of his hair.
That's funny. If true.
Yeah, who knows if it's true. Unfortunately, how unfortunate is it that we have to say that all the time?
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And it wasn't like this a year, 2 years ago. It's gotten really bad.
Well, I'm not sure of that completely. We just didn't say it as much.
Yeah. Well, so with all of this tweeting and all of this bullying and all of this finger pointing with threats of a 35% or whatever it may be, tax or surcharge.
Border tax. Yeah.
Have you noticed all these companies just coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, we're going to be hiring all these people next year. We're going to be, you know, spending a lot of money on, expansion and growth.
And yes, I have noticed this.
Yeah. So we see that GM is now
very strange.
Very strange, right? I mean, I get where he pointed a finger at Ford and somehow, well, first to start with Carrier, the air conditioning company. You know, with the whole thing about, you know, I can't believe this, 12 jobs leaving the United States going to Mexico. That's terrible. And somehow magically, Carrier said, we're not going to do that. And we're going to put more money in here. Ford did the same thing. Ford has a $750 million expansion in Michigan, hiring, 700 people. And every time, by the way, I know about this because Trump will say something about this and rally himself that he did it. GM now plans to bring on 7,000 people with $1 billion spend in the U.S., over some period of time.
Yeah.
Walmart, this is the one that really caught me. Walmart announced today that they're looking to bring on 100,000 new employees by the end of 2017. This was kind of like the headline, the core.
How does that work? They've just been closing stores.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the vast majority of new positions and new hires that Walmart will have, they're opening up 59 Walmarts and Sam's Club throughout the year. That's planned already. That's all. It's going to be either remodeled, expanded, or opening throughout the year. That's something you don't just do that overnight. This has already been planned. And then the company in the subtext all the way down said, this level of job growth is consistent with what it has delivered over the last several years. But meanwhile, everybody's just focusing on this 100,000 new employees, not to mention that there's a lot of new hires that happen for a part-time basis at the end of the year for the holidays. So there's nothing different in any of this.
But some, I guess you could say a lot of this is trumped up.
Trumped up. Yeah. But I don't understand why companies feel the necessities. It's just so that they figure they can outsmart him by saying, hey, you know what? and you know, we're gonna hire 100,000 new employees. Okay, I'll leave you alone.
It's possible.
I don't know. It's just very weird. It's pathetic is what it is. Now, last thing, or one or two more things on this whole Trump issue. In a newspaper report in the newspaper Bild, which I believe is a German newspaper, on Monday, he I guess there was an interview and he criticized German car makers for failing to produce more cars on U.S. soil. The target this time was BMW. And as they were hit with this 35% border tax, stock lost about $4 billion in market cap. Mm-hmm. So now what's interesting is today a lot of these companies bounce back because of this this fight or this difference in opinion with the Republicans in the House and this the Twitter law that he's passing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those companies are bouncing back. Maybe some good deals in that when all is said and done. In some of these companies that he's been slamming. Mm. And finally, Donald Trump said he would keep his personal Twitter account for the next 4 years.
Good.
You think it's going to happen?
Yeah. So he likes to do this. He's got some sick, perverse pleasure out of it.
Yep. No question about that. Multiple times per day. All right. So here's the thing. I want you to put your thinking cap on for a second here. There's been a whole lot of discussion about the idea of getting rid of cash and how it would be a boon for world economies, right? This whole great idea. And, you know, just take away the cash and, you know, we'll have a less of an underground.
Thank God for the Chinese being so populist. They won't put up with this.
No. But this guy Ken Rogoff is. But I was thinking, okay, well, we saw this in India happen and there's some discussion about it in the euro and there's been some very mild discussion here in the U.S. about it. I still don't really understand how this is going to help world economies. I think it will freak people out really badly. And, you know, it would shut down some of the gray market activities that go on and underground businesses, et cetera. And, you know, the hope is, oh, if we get rid of the cash, the drug business will end. Let me tell you something. The drug business will continue. Somehow they'll figure a way. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the drug argument. And why would you change the structure of the economy so drastically just because of you know, legalized drugs if you're concerned about it?
Yeah.
That is a straw man. That's bull crap.
Yep.
What they want to do is they want to eliminate, they want to be able to tax small cash transactions, which is to the tune of, last time I looked, was $3 trillion a year. And that means paying the gardener by cash, paying, you know, some housekeeper by cash, all those cash transactions, selling stuff on Craigslist for cash, all that sort of thing.
Restaurants not ringing up certain things, putting it aside, bars. There's an enormous amount of places that do a variety of things with cash under the table.
So they want to eliminate that, they being the governments. It's not a banking thing, I don't believe. The government, they want to find some new tax. They need more taxes. And so they don't. And the other thing is it's also population control where you can really, if you've got like $250,000 and it's all in these credits that have to go through some sort of card, they can break you overnight. And just, okay, kill this account. Until we get what we want, which I think is the problem that people are going to get. Aren't going to like this, the idea. Or somebody accidentally, say somebody's working at through one of these clearinghouses that takes care of these credits and debits through a system of some sort that's cashless. Somebody takes a dislike to you.
Right. So it could take you months.
It could take you months, and you wouldn't be able to pay any bills in the meantime. You can get it straightened out eventually, but if it was under a normal circumstance where you had cash, you could coast a little bit. This is just a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. But who would benefit in this environment? You know, I was thinking about this. Who would benefit?
Besides the government.
Well, you get PayPal, MasterCard, Visa, American Express, right? All the card companies. And they have been benefiting dramatically already. You know, but how are you going to pay for it? You can pay for it with debit card. You can pay for it with credit card. But I mean, what, a check, maybe? I don't know. Who knows? They'll do away with checks one day. But somehow they're going to have to be a recordable. You know, the whole idea of getting rid of cash is to get rid of get rid of anything that can't be recorded correctly.
Right. You know? Right. Everything has to be recorded.
So, you know, you have these various companies that will do better, and they have been doing very well, as the natural progression has been to go to a cashless economy just by the very nature of the ease of using digital payment processing. I mean, it's just been happening on its own, right? Without the government.
Tap and go.
Yeah. Exactly. So who would have a problem? So I was standing at a hotel and I was waiting for an Uber cab, and lo and behold, a Brinks truck shows up. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, huh, what do these guys do exactly? I mean, I know what they do in general, right? So I started looking into this, and I want your opinion, what you think. So the Brinks company with the armored trucks, this is right from the website here. The company's solutions include cash in transit, which, you know, carrying the bags with a security guard to and from a hotel or a restaurant or somewhere. Automated teller machine replenishment, again, cash and shove cash in these things, and maintenance, international transportation of valuables, cash management and payment services to financial institutions, retailers, government agencies, central banks, mints, jewelers. They operate in the U.S., France, Mexico, Brazil, Canada, Latin America, Europe, Middle East, Africa. Cash in transit services include the transportation of cash between businesses and financial institutions, banks, credit unions, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. You know what they do, right? I mean, we know what they do. I wonder if this will be something that won't be as viable, particularly their ATM replenishment, cash in transit services.
Yeah, that's done.
Done, right?
Yeah.
So where's my thinking?
What do you mean, where's your thinking?
Short.
Short Brinks?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things. One, I think it's one of those idealistic ideas, the short Brinks, because I just don't think it's going to go that way under any circumstances.
I would tend to agree with you there.
So shorting Brinks is just an exercise in futility.
Well, this is why we haven't initiated it. Because
and it would be some years away from today. It's not happening overnight. I mean, it's not like we're not like India. That India thing, which is, I think, isolated to certain areas, is just crazy. And I don't think it's going to hold up. They're going to riot.
Yeah, they've been very upset about it. Well, but they had no choice, though. They had to panic and get it done quickly, turn in their money or it's done. It wasn't like, we're phasing this out. It was like, okay, you have till Wednesday. Thank you. That was it. They pretty much had to throw their particular bills, the particular, I think it was whatever the bill, the note was.
Rupees.
Whatever. But the size of it was a 500 rupee or whatever it was.
It wasn't even that. It was more like a 20.
It was that. It was a bunch of, it was just terrible, the whole thing. And it was like, you don't have a choice. Here it is. And thank you. Have a nice day. Or else you just can't use them again. Change them over. But anyway, something to think about if we do see, just something to put in the back of the mind, if in fact there is this confiscation of cash in the future, and or there are, just by a natural process, less cash transactions that will go on, that Brinks may be on the brink.
Ah, you just wanted that. That was the whole thing.
Long story for that. Is that what you're saying?
Long story. Long, just a shaggy
to get
dog.
Just to get to that point.
Brinks is on the brink.
That was not planned. Let's talk about another explosive subject, uranium.
Oh, yes.
Uranium.
Explosive subject.
I'm just loaded with these today, huh?
Yeah, you're on a roll.
Yeah. Uranium. So uranium, I tweeted this a week and a half ago or so. I said, hey, I'm starting to look at these uranium stocks. Here's a couple of ones I'm looking at. By the way, you can follow me at Andrew Horowitz, and that's on Twitter. John's Twitter handle is The Real Dvorak. And I tweeted this, and I said, you know, with a few things in mind with what's recently going on, remember back on December 22nd, President-elect Trump said, The United States, he tweeted this, the United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes, which translates to, if we're not going to see other people disarm, we're going to arm until we can get it to a point that they realize we can blow them up faster than they can blow us up, I suppose.
You know, well, he had another complaint, too, which I think kind of leads to this, although I'm not absolutely sure how you can or how much of when you build a weapon, a nuke, let's say. And they're also going to probably build some nuclear power plants, which I think could benefit some areas. But can you recycle that stuff?
I think the half-life is some ridiculous amount that doesn't go it wears down, but, you know, I don't think so.
Or is it easier to build with fresh? I don't know.
You're talking about new nuclear
bombs, yeah.
Oh.
Because I know this for a fact, that Trump was concerned with the because the Russians decided to modernize. And that means you have 1,000 bombs, you make them newer, which is, just seems like a boon to the armaments people. Oh, and we have a new, you know, way of detonating. We got to do this. We got to do this. These other things. And they also must be corroding because of all the radiation. I don't know. I don't know. But I know Trump was concerned about the Russians modernizing. And so now we have to modernize. And there was a couple of big contracts I saw float around that had to do with just exactly this, with a new kind of warhead and a new kind of triggering mechanism. New bombs,
yep,
is what it means.
Yep.
And it's expensive, but it needs to be done.
Yep.
Well, that seems like a plus for some of these operations that are involved in this business.
Yeah, and you have uranium. The other thing is that we saw news right after I made this tweet, or a couple of days later, we saw these uranium stocks, which we just are invested for clients, and I invested for myself, actually. We saw that there was a news that in Kazakhstan, which is somewhere over that direction.
It's down. It's in that group of stands that the Russians used to own.
It's with the stands. The main company, Kazatomprom, said that it would cut its uranium production by about 10%. And this was important because they control about 40% of the global uranium supply.
Huh.
So we saw that uranium shot up. And of course, just like when gold moves up, the gold miners move up. Well, the uranium companies moved up dramatically. We also saw that news that China will be adding about $361 billion into renewable power generation by the year 2020, which includes nuclear. We know that President-elect Donald Trump is also not shy of energy sources that could be considered unfriendly to the environment. So with that, these uranium stocks are kind of interesting. Now, just after they ran up, there's a few stocks out there that are interesting. Cameco is the pure play. They're the best fundamentals. They're a good company. They're a real company. They're not one of these small little bitty guys out there.
What's the symbol?
CCJ, which, by the way, just tonight, before we went on, the company announced that their earnings will come in lower due to a variety of expenses and a variety of things they're doing, and their production will be slightly lower. This was out of the blue. And they're going to be laying off a bunch of employees to cut expenses and cut their guidance. The stock was down about 9% after hours. Now, these stocks ran up like 25 or 30% in a matter of days the last week or so. Some of them ran up about 60%. One in particular ran up about like 80%. And then the company said, oh, look at that. The stock's up big time. Let's issue some shares, and diluted the shares. But I still think that this uranium trade could be very interesting into the future.
Well, it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I got some of these for the game.
Are you going to put that in there?
Yeah. I think it would be kind of interesting. Now, did we talk I had, and I can't remember his name, Shadow Stats. Was it John Williams? No. Is it?
Yes,
John
Williams.
Williams. Did we talk since he was on my show?
No.
Oh. So I asked him the questions.
Yes.
Here we go. I asked him the questions. Let's see. I have it right here. Have you noticed that the official unemployment rate and Shadow Stats rate separated after Obama? And why? Now, this was on the discipline.
He didn't answer that question very well.
You didn't think so?
No.
He. Well, what
I
about
thought all his answers were long-winded and not necessarily to the point.
Now, I can talk, right? This guy took over the show.
Yeah, he's a talker. He's a chatterbox.
Oh, man.
There's a funny thing about this. When you're doing interviews, just to do a little inside baseball, there's two kinds of guys who can do that. I've had an instance where a guy can take over the show, but he takes over the show with kind of a lecture that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find Williams to be that interesting. I thought he didn't have was missing a spark.
And he's pretty much just informational.
He's very informational. He didn't have a lot of enthusiasm, and he didn't have an agenda, which is I think was probably a plus for what he's trying to do. But he was definitely a chatterbox, not of the type that I normally appreciate.
All right, so he didn't really give you a satisfactory answer to that. But although he did explain why, as we do know, many of these numbers have generally been looking much better from the official numbers compared to the shadow stats numbers. I mean, I think he was clear about that. We knew this.
I thought he did as good a job of explaining what he's up to. Although I didn't, the other question you asked, which is the weasel factors, the fudge factors. He didn't really do a very good job of backing that question up.
Well, his answer was very simple. When I said to him, people criticize you, I was trying to be polite. And I said,
You were very good. You were very polite to him.
I said, some people criticize you of using fudge factors. I mean, what do they mean? And he says, I don't use fudge factors. That was pretty much his answer.
Yeah. But then when you listen to him explain how he gets these numbers, it sounds like fudge factors to me. I don't think they're unreasonable. I don't think he's a cheater. I don't think these numbers are bogus. I think his numbers are fine. I think they're good and they're accurate. But he makes it sound as though, he has to shoehorn things into – he wants to reflect the man on the streets concept of what the hell's going on.
Right. He called that the common experience? Is that what he called it?
Yeah, something like common that. Experience. He had some word for it.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're out, and I've said this too. This is one of the reasons I like shadow stats because I think it reflects reality. I mean, not necessarily in the San Francisco Bay Area, but if you go around the country and hang out or go anywhere, these deserted towns and places like Macon, Georgia, people don't see it as all. We're a boom time, the Bay Area and the two or three Austin, Texas, these little pockets of technology where they can really leverage the business and make everybody rich. Is not the average experience, but they're all in for unemployment's down to 4.5. It doesn't even make any sense that it's down to 4.5, and everybody knows it.
Yeah. I mean, here's what's interesting about this. I got more emails and more comments on how great that show was than I think in years. Seriously. Maybe it's because I wasn't talking as much.
No, that wouldn't be it. I think it's because... I think you'll get these sorts of comments when you introduce people to something that they're really not that familiar with. There's not that many people except me and you to the much lesser extreme who keeps bringing it up.
Yeah.
Oh, look at these shadow stat numbers. I tweet it all the time too. Look at this, these numbers. This is bull crap what they're telling us. And so you bring some guy on who's producing this information, and people will be riveted by it. Me, not so much, because I'm pretty familiar with it.
Yeah, so it was a new entry. And he did do a lot of explaining and all that, so maybe that was good for a lot of people. Now, I will tell you, I'm following this up with, he was, by the way, he was kind of doom and gloomy, let's be honest, right, John Williams?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm following this up with even more doomier and gloomier.
Are you going to bring your buddy on?
Harry Dent.
Yeah, Harry Dent.
Harry Dent's coming on. He's a new book. I read it on the plane recently. It's called The Sale of a Lifetime, How the Great Bubble Burst of 2017 to 2019 Can Make You Rich. So it's very interesting. He's playing both sides. He's playing both sides of not just, get out of town, get in a bunker and all that, but it's going to make you rich.
Who was that guy? This was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, the guy who first came out, very famous guy, who came out and talked about the bond collapse.
Was it not Peter Schiff?
No, God.
Was it the other guy, the doom, gloom, and boom report?
No, it was somebody who was much more, he's more institutional and much more famous.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Double Lines Gunlicht. What's his name? He manages a major, well, it's either that or you could talk about the old PIMCO guy.
It may have been the PIMCO guy.
That now is with, he is now with J, begins with a J. He now, boy, you know, I'm having a real problem here.
Well, look it up later. We can talk about it in the next show. But just to re-familiarize your people, our audience with what he said.
Bill Gross.
He wasn't the only guy who said this.
Yeah, Bill Gross from Janus now.
Oh, it wasn't Bill Gross.
No, all right.
I think it must have been Gundlach.
Yeah.
Although Bill Gross has been on the same bandwagon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they said there's going to be a collapse of the bond market, and they were seeing this 2 years ago, which, as you can see, people that saw the collapse of the housing market were a couple years out. It's not that hard. But nobody could identify what the mechanism was that's going to or how are you going to know? Can we get in an early? Which you can't. But the one guy said, when you see it, you'll know it.
Yeah.
In other words, it's like porn. When you see it, you know it. And so that's what his only comment was that I always thought was interesting. And that's a doom and gloom scenario too. I think Dent's, in late on this idea. And, well, does he refer to, he's talking about, what I was forgetting to say was the same guy who said this, that you'll know it when you see it, when you know it, you know it when you see it. He said that there's going to be some of the greatest wealth in the world created during this moment in history.
Well,
what I think Dent is kind of, he's like maybe reiterating what this guy said 2 years ago.
Maybe he's big into cycles. He's got the human sexual response cycle. He's got the 8 to 13 year boom bust cycle, which he's very into the sunspot activity thing, which I just have a hard time dealing with. So I'm not going to go there. 30 year commodity cycle, the 34 to 36 year geopolitical cycle, the 39 year generational. Let me tell you how far he goes out. He goes the 50 to 60 year Kondratiev wave.
Oh, Kondratiev. Yeah, that guy, the Russian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wave, the guy's wave.
This is the waves that are converging. The 165-year East-West cycle, the 500-year mega innovation cycle, the 10,000, the 5,000-year civilization cycle, the 100,000-year glaciation cycle, and the 1 billion-year climate cycle. How do you even chart that?
You don't.
Yeah. So he's got all these going into it, and I have some questions that I'm going to ask him and kind of go through this, because he's already in his book, I think he wrote this mid-2016, and he already talked about how by the end of 2016, starting in the beginning of 2017, this is all going to start unraveling.
Yeah.
And late 2017, it's really going to get ugly, like into like a 40% decline in equities.
Could happen.
It could happen. We're not there yet.
I don't think it's going to start unraveling for a while, though. I mean, by that I mean, I'd be surprised if it started unraveling before July.
Yeah, no, it's got to
unravel
very quickly.
And it may take a year to unravel.
Right. Anyway, he's going to be on the show, The Disciplined Investor. That's going to be coming up this week. Might I remind everybody to listen to No Agenda. If you want to hear the goings on with the world, understanding a little bit more about what to do and what not to do when you travel overseas and about passport expiration, you should probably listen to the No Agenda show.
You should listen to the last episode.
Yeah, the No Agenda show.
That one caught me off guard.
That's on Thursdays and Sundays. It's actually streams live, and you can also pick it up on iTunes and a variety of other places. Just go to noagendashow.com. Let's see. I don't know. Do you feel bad about that Tim Cook? They Apple didn't make their numbers last year, so it seems that everybody didn't get their full targets of their bonuses.
I don't feel bad about any of that, but I do feel a little concerned when Peter Thiel comes out and says the era of Apple is over. And the reason that concerns me is because Peter Thiel is one of those rare birds. In fact, if anyone saw the first season of Silicon Valley, there was one character in there who was actually supposed to be a Peter Thiel type of person. And we've run into people like this. This guy, unfortunately, the actor died in the off season, and that was the end of him. Mm. But it was he was the guy, the very thoughtful, crazy guy who had that real narrow car. And so he can get in and out of airport things. And he was sitting there, and out of the blue, he's talking to the entrepreneur.
Wasn't that Mr. Bean? That was Mr. Bean, right?
It was similar. But this guy's talking, he says, you know, this is the 7-year cicada cycle, which is matching with the 7-year, this other cycle, as he was a cycle. Notice he says, it's time to short, you know, coffee or something. Some commodity play dreamed up. And that's the kind of guy Peter Thiel is. He is one of these weird brainiacs who doesn't see the world like anybody that's normal. And I've always believed that Apple would peak and crest and start to slide. And my thinking was, well, would you ever short Apple? Would you short Apple? My thinking was always the following. I would short Apple when they start closing, not building a new one, but closing down their stores. Mm-hmm. In other words, they shut the store down. Not like in Palo Alto. They shut the store down in Palo Alto and built a new, bigger one next door. Mm-hmm. No, I mean when they start shutting stores down.
Right. Well, they're no longer, maybe there's one of the stores or a variety of the stores have a bit of a cash bleed and they've just been letting it go and letting it go and letting it go. And now they're like, enough. And that's a sign that maybe things are slowing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Thiel also, he has an interesting thing. He has the Thiel. He has some kind of a Thiel, I guess it's a special fund for people who drop out of college and they become entrepreneurs. And you
Fellowship. He encourages them to drop out.
Yeah. And then he gives them like money.
100 grand.
Yeah.
I know somebody that took the deal.
I know somebody also.
And this girl was working with us at, and she was a girl. She was 18 when she took the deal. Smart. And she was at the Mevio. And she took the deal and she talked about it. And she did a bunch of goofed around and did other things. And then after about a year, she decided that she spent the money and then went to Cal Berkeley.
And he doesn't ask for it back.
No. Once you get the money, it's like a grand.
You know what? I'm going to put in for something.
Yeah.
Might as well. Quickly, just moving along, we have a lot to cover here. There was a Qualcomm after the close, during the day today, I guess, so the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, charged them and filed a complaint that Qualcomm is using anti-competitive tactics to maintain its monopoly in the supply of key semiconductor devices used in cell phones and other consumer products. Qualcomm down about 4.5%. I don't know how that's going to play. I don't get it. But
Qualcomm's a borderline monopolist.
Yeah, well, obviously that's what they're being charged with. Just moving along very quickly, just to let you know, yes, starting 2017, we are open for donations for the show. This, you know, by the way, where do the donations go? Well, they go to funding things like what we're about to embark on. I believe this is put a little asterisk on this. Our live stream starting next week. We're going to be live streaming at 9 p.m.
Wasn't it supposed to start this week?
It was supposed to, but we didn't have enough money donated. That was the problem.
The live stream will be handy for people. I don't know. I think some of our ideas might need quick action. I'm not sure.
But we'll have that starting
next
week. I
know people love listening live.
Yeah. We'll have a few things. Nothing can be anything fancy. You can still listen to it afterwards. We'll, of course, put it up on the various
It's a podcast
and things and all that. But you can listen live. But, you know, it goes there. It goes to, you know, paying for things like the trophies, the shirts, the website design, all the stuff. So please do us a favor. Just a little bit. Just a little something. It's a new year. You're going to get a reduction in your taxes. Your regulations are going to be a lot less. A lot more money to flow around. Go over to the website. Click the donate button and give some money.
And I'd like to see the reduction in taxes before I buy into that.
All right. So you're basically saying don't donate to us. Is that what you're saying?
No, you should donate to us, but you're not going to, but I'm skeptical that Trump's going to do anything about taxes.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's something high on his list. And I think that he's going to get pressed on that. I think he's going to press that one.
Well, I think he might get to, I think if he concentrates first on the repatriation, I think that's a big deal.
I would think that's a big deal also, but that it's not going to touch anybody but the stock market.
Yeah.
Now we talked about
tax. I like this tax plan. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Now, last week we talked about this, but I'm going to reveal this to you now because we have some graphics that go along with this. This is over on DH Unplugged. It's called the "And the Winner Is" from the Closest to the Pin competition for 2016. The cup. Have you seen this yet? Have you seen this image?
Yes.
We got John Jeffers holding up some of his prizes. He's got some golf balls. He's got a book. He's got, look at that trophy. It's a big trophy. He's got a shirt, got a gift certificate to Amazon, which he's not holding there, but there he is in all his glory.
Deserves it.
Yeah. There
That's
he goes.
A lot of stuff. You have to win. That means you have to have won twice.
Right. And he came in 0.03% away from the final value of the Dow Jones for the end of the year. So I thought that was a kind of a cool thing right there. He's very appreciative. I know that. All right, moving along, moving along. We also have Amazon.com is now in process. And we have probably close to 100 and something people that are now involved in this. And you're about 1% away. I'm about 5% away. And some of the people that are closer are pretty spot on, you know, less than 50 cents away. So keep a watch on that, Amazon.com on the close to the pin over on DH Unplugged. A quick note on the millennials. They pulled ahead of the old codgers. How are we doing on time? Are we doing all right? We got a little bit. All right, a few more things.
Yeah, we're good.
John Corzine. He was the gent who ran MF Global into the ground and collapsed into bankruptcy in 2011. All this guy needed was honestly about 4 more months and things would have been beautiful for him.
That's the real problem when you're running that close to the vest.
Yep. He lost about $1 billion for customers and he was charged with a final verdict of having to pay $5 million. So there you go. Lose $1 billion, pay $5 million.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Apple reported that its developers earned $20 billion in App Store sales in 2016.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said that the biggest drivers for the App Store were games such as Pokemon Go, which was the most downloaded in 2016, Super Mario, which was the most downloaded app on Christmas and New Year's Day. And here's what I find interesting.
What about the Flashlight app?
That one's free. It comes with the phone. It's not even free. It's just embedded in the phone now. And by the way, one of the handiest thing that is on the iPhone is the alarms and the flashlight.
Yeah.
You know, helps you read a menu very easily without putting on bifocals. But also the other thing that helped was subscription-based apps such as Netflix, Hulu, and Time Warner's HBO Go. Now, is he inferring somehow that Apple makes money from the Netflix, Hulu apps and Time Warner's HBO Go?
I'd like to have somebody explain that to me.
I don't understand that. It seems like, do they get a piece of it or do they get a fee for
commission?
Commission for what? You don't have to pay for it. I don't understand. Maybe every time.
It's like one of those commissions you get. Like, I mean, there used to be years ago, I think in the 90s, there was a belief that Dell, when there was a bunch of the computer wars where people were selling computers cheap. And there was a thing that went around. I never confirmed this, but that Dell was making, I guess it was the late 80s and early 90s. Dell was making all of its profits from embedded apps like the AOL app or software that came with the computer, free software that came with the computer that you'd have to sign up for. They got a piece of the action and they were making more money from that than the machines.
That we know that was, I mean, and then it got out of hand that it was just the whole computer was riddled with this crap.
Yes,
but maybe Netflix, if you download it and you sign up and subscribe via the iOS and through the smartphone or through your iPad or through your an application, not through the web.
Yeah.
Maybe if you sign, that doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to, I was trying to figure this out. This doesn't make any sense.
We should have to ask somebody.
Somebody we have to ask. Anybody knows how, if in fact Netflix is paying, I can't imagine. Why would Netflix do that? That's just silly. I mean, they could do that because they want to have more distribution. I get that, but it just doesn't make any sense to me because you could just click it online, you know, just do it instead of an app. You just go to their website on the mobile version. It's like some companies do that. They don't put out apps. They just put out mobile versions of the site that are pretty much like an app. We're going to have to get to the game now. Just we'll bring this up next time. We'll talk about the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus closing, millennials with their low income net worth these days. Mylan's EpiPen now has a rival. America's most hated company. We'll bring this up next time. But two things I want to bring up before we go. You were tweeting about robots ending employment. In other words, robots taking over the place of human beings. That all of a sudden is getting attention 5 years after we brought this up as something that's concerning. If you remember my discussion about this, I said robots don't have to eat. They don't have to drink. They don't have to take a crap. They don't have to go on vacation. They don't get sick. You don't have to pay them benefits. It's the best employee ever. And everybody's like, oh, no, that's not going to ever happen. Now,
I don't know why anyone would think that. It's only logical that it will happen.
Yeah, now, but they were poo-pooing it. No. It's, you know, the technology is creating more jobs. You know that whole one, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Where's this? We're having more jobs. What more jobs?
Yeah, it's creating more jobs because the people are moving out of the jobs that they're qualified to do in this area. And now the technology area needs so much more people to be in there because the people that were unqualified to be in the technology somehow now are qualified.
Yeah. Stupid. Or they can be retrained, which is another bogus notion.
Right. So now they're just noticing that there's a problem here. So, and what are you writing for PC Magazine?
I'm actually discussing Twitter.
As a good thing?
As a future. Well, I have neither good nor bad, but I talk about this, what can happen, what might save it. Does it need saving? I discuss all this.
Yeah. All this and more on Twitter. You can read that in PC Magazine that John Dvorak writes for on a regular basis. And, of course, all the other things that he talks about, whether it's here or on No Agenda, follow him on Twitter, at The Real Dvorak, me, Andrew Horowitz. Let's get to the stocks. It's a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation for anything. It's just a game that we play, some ideas that we come up with some reasoning behind them. And then what we do is we put them on a spreadsheet. You can follow those on dhunplug.com under the weekly stock picks. John C. Dvorak, myself, or clients of Horowitz & Company may own any of these stocks. We will note those if that is the case. And we have a running list here. We have a kind of a couple of rules also. We have if there's a 10% stop, trailing stop, if something goes up and then comes back down or just goes down 10%, we're out.
Unless it's a penny stock that we have to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, we'll note that. But right now we have, 7 stocks on the list that are currently active. Only one is down, Tronc, which is your pick from a couple weeks back. We're major insiders.
It's actually dead money. It's not really down. It's just dead. It's an insider thing. They take a while to catch.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen instantly because then it would draw the attention of the government. So, no.
Yeah, it's kind of a stealthy situation where you're looking for insiders. But we still see Barclays up 56% since we initiated. Herbalife is up 12%. Interesting on Herbalife, one of the lead people at the FTC has left, that one that was really against Herbalife. And now that we have Icon, buddy, and involved somehow with Trump, there's a question whether these multi-level marketing programs are going to be able to do all sorts of nastiness in the future. Stock's been up a few percent the last few days. The TBT short bonds is up 15%, Kinder Morgan up 13%, Resolute Energy up 43% since we bought it. When was that? I bought that, I recommended that 11. I didn't recommend it. I put it on the sheet, 11:30. So the end of November. TransDigm Digital is up 0.12 on the ever famous corkscrew chart setup. I have two names this week. I have, the uranium stocks.
Yeah, you did two, which is unusual.
Well, I did two because, you know, I know that Cameco is going to be down about 9% on the open tomorrow. And Uranium Resources was up a bunch. It hit some support at about 215, 210. In that range, it's going to be, there is some support there. It was recently as high as 4. And then they did this offering and it brought the stock down significantly. So my thesis is simply nukes. And I thought we'd spread out the risk here.
I'll take a look. I'm noticing on our list here that we have only one short, and that's a carryover from August of last year. Because it's just the shorts, we're not in a mood for this sort of thing. We're going long on everything. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, for the time being.
I'm going long on a short that would have been a great short a little while ago because it collapsed. And the CEO chairman is insider buying on this thing. And it's a company, the symbol is PVR. I'm sorry, it's not PVR.
PVH?
PVR is a personal video recorder. But it's the same letters.
Oh.
This is Retractable Technologies, RVP.
It's Selexia. Retractable Technologies, up 25% today.
Yes.
And you're going long?
Yeah.
It's $1.14 a share.
Yeah. Yeah. I discovered this stock, it was a buck. but now it's $1.14.
And so what is this? What do they do?
Medical instrument supply company, then the healthcare business. Something screwy about it, because it was pretty, I wouldn't call it a high flyer, but it was a $2.50 stock, or maybe $3, and it collapsed down to $1 in the end of last year. And for some reason, it had a falling dagger thing going on. And so the CEO and chairman decided to buy $2 million worth, or $1 million, I guess. No, maybe two. 2 million shares or 1 million shares. I can't remember, but it was a bunch. But even though it wasn't a big bunch of money for these guys, but it seemed like it wasn't done to prop up the stock. It's like he probably saw it collapse and said, wait a minute, we got these great things coming out. You know, we got new distribution or something, I would assume. And so he felt like buying it down to like a bottom feeder. I'm going to give this 20% leeway.
Oh, 20%. Good. Glad you mentioned that. 20% trail.
I like to start the year off with a penny stock.
Yeah, I can see that. That's definitely a penny stock. Retractable technology. I'm assuming they have some technology that pulls something and squeezes something out and retracts it.
It could be, or it could be a legacy name. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, it's possible. Probably make roach clips.
Ha! Big dough. Roach clips. There's money to be made.
It's a big thing going on. The marijuana industry, all these... There's like a company called Kush that makes the little bottles and the bags, and there's all sorts of ways to get around and to.
Yeah, we should do a whole show on this, or maybe make a, because there's opportunities here
in the pot business.
I think.
Oh yeah, there's so many different companies that are involved in this whole thing.
It's going to be interesting to see how Trump handles it, though, because it's like, you know, he doesn't even like drinking. I don't know how he's going to put up with pot, but it would be nice if he just backed off.
Yeah. Well, we're going to end it there. Our full time is now spent on all sorts of interesting things. We'll carry over some of the things that we're going to talk about until next week, where again, I'll tell everybody how to do this. If we are going to be live next week, all you have to do is before 9 o'clock at night on Tuesday evening, you go over to DH Unplugged. There will be a nice little thing that says live and streaming. Click here and you just click there and you can listen in if it is live. If it's not there, it's because we're not live. Well, but we'll make sure everybody knows it. We'll tweet it. And
eventually, we will be live.
Yeah. But if you want to be in the know and you want to make sure you are aware of it, like an alarm clock, follow us on Twitter, because that's the way that we'll punch it out there and tell you what's going on and keep you updated on all this. So other than that, I wish you a wonderful week and a happy Inauguration Day.
Oh, yes. It's coming this week. That'll be interesting. I'll look forward to that.
It's going to be the best ever. Best. I'll see you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.